50 years ago today, on October 4th, 1957, a couple of major historical events intersected, Allison. It was a Friday night.
Okay.
And most Americans probably didn't even know that in a few hours, the Russians were going to launch the first ever satellite into
the
space.
Soviets, even scarier.
Yes, back then they were the Soviets. And maybe they didn't realize it partly because they were still basking in the afterglow of having watched the debut of a little show you might have heard of called Leave It to Beaver. As almost everybody on planet Earth and probably in space now knows, then 9-year-old Jerry Mathers played Theodore Beaver Cleaver on the show, and he's on the phone with us right now. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. So Sputnik actually launched in the middle of the night, and you were a 9-year-old kid. How did you even hear about it?
Well, I would imagine I didn't hear about it till the next day. It wasn't anything that was planned. It wasn't like one of our space launches that it was covered. The way people heard about it was Sputnik was a little ball that they set up. It was about 186 pounds, and it had two antennas, and all it did was basically send out a beeping noise. So people around the world heard that sound, so they knew that something had been launched into an orbit around the Earth. Actually, an artificial moon would actually be called, technically. So I don't think a lot of people probably knew about it until the next day. Some who may have been up late at night, but the government was very afraid because basically what the rockets that Sputnik was launched on were developed and were very heavy rockets to bring atomic warheads to the United States.
Was it a little disappointing for you the next morning to have had this big TV debut and everyone's talking about Sputnik? Was anyone talking about the Beav?
Absolutely. It was like any other news day. Sputnik was, a headline event. And then on the arts and entertainment section, it talked about Leave It to Beaver. So we definitely didn't expect to be on the front page. It was very interesting. Now, Sputnik was only up, I think it was like an hour and a half, and then it fell back into the atmosphere and burned up. And Leave It to Beaver right now, like our SETI project, which is scanning the universe looking for messages coming from any place in the universe. Leave It to Beaver right now is passing through the constellation Vega.
I mean, ironically, the Sputnik technology, of course, is part of what made you so famous, satellite technology, beaming your show around.
Probably not, but whatever.
Probably not? I understand that the show, was sort of popular in its day, but really, really took off in reruns. Is that a fair assessment?
It was very fair because one of the problems we had with the show is that it was written and thought of as an adult show. And so when it was first on the air, it was on like at 9 o'clock and 9:30, I think on Thursday nights and different nights. But it really didn't hit its massive popularity. And because of that, because of being on so late, a lot of kids couldn't watch it. So it didn't hit its massive popularity until it went into reruns and started showing it in the afternoon, in the morning. There was a while, actually, with satellite technology and being beamed around the world, that if you had a receiver, a dish to receive all the signals, you could watch Leave It to Beaver for about 12 hours a day.
Can you just tell me a little bit about your life now as Jerry Mathers? Can you take me through an average day? How many times a day do people stop you? Literally, how many times
a day? It really depends. It's not that people stop me. A lot of people know me. I live in a suburb of Los Angeles. So in my suburb, I mean, it's very well known. When I go to the market, any place I go, people say hi to me. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy because not only is it here, but it's all over the world. Leave It to Beaver is played in about 80 languages in 130, I think it is, different countries. So it plays all over the world.
Which one makes you laugh the most when you hear the language coming out of your little 9-year-old face?
Japanese is kind of funny because it's not that it's a funny language, but it's just odd to see yourself because it's very, very different. When you hear it say in Spanish or French or German, I'm more used to hearing those languages. But because of the dialects of Japanese, It just makes it it's a different sound that I'm used to hearing and seeing my face. And the interesting part is to watch it and then say, but if you were in Japan, that would be saying the same thing that it says in English.
Hey, when you were a little kid and making Beaver, were you really into space travel and space flight and all the Sputnik stuff? Did it just fascinate you?
Airplanes fascinated me. You know, space was not really that big a thing right then. I mean, when Sputnik went up, actually the glow that people saw going by and thought was Sputnik was really the, I think it was second or third stage of the rocket. So there was, like, at night you'd go out and you saw a glow. But space travel didn't really kick in for another few years. We were much more interested, and I think it's because of the Cold War, about playing Army. All our fathers had come back from World War II. And so kids in that particular day were much more interested in playing Army.
It's interesting you say that. I was going to ask you. I have a sister who is a woman of a certain age, and she
tells me stories. Just so you know.
She tells me stories about, you know, them having to dive under their desks for these air raid drills that they would have, like that would really save them from the Red Menace. Do you remember being scared at all of the Soviets when you were a kid? Or?
Well, you know, it wasn't that we were scared of them. I didn't think. It was, or at least I wasn't scared of them. But it was, you know, we did have national defense drills, and they had sirens that would go off, and if you would then either climb under your desk or go, and they had all these different procedures that if there was an atomic attack, that would be what you were to do. So it wasn't that it was imminent, but, you know, there was always that threat. It was like, you know, I live in California, and they also had earthquake drills.
Sure.
So, and people in the Midwest had tornado drills. So it wasn't something that you were terrified of, but, you know, at least you thought that you had a way, if that happened, of at least knowing what to do.
You were talking about playing Army in the military, and you were in the National Guard during the Vietnam War in the United States, I understand. And
yes.
And there was a rumor that's probably still being tamped down somewhere on the internet that you were killed in Vietnam. Do you have any idea how that came about, and how much time did you have to spend explaining to people that you, in fact, were not dead?
Well, how it came about, I really don't know. I gave away an Emmy to Gene Kelly in 1967, and I'd just gotten out of boot camp at the time, and I did it in uniform, so people knew that I was in the service. And about probably a few months later, one of my friends woke me up, and it was in the newspaper. It said, you know, actor dies in Vietnam, Jerry Mathers.
Wow.
And it ran on the wire services. And at that time, I wasn't
where I
was.
I thought we were bad journalists.
Yeah, well,
that's unreal.
I was in the service, so I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a manager. I didn't have all the people that I have now that if something like that happened, would immediately jump on it and say that's not true, and he's doing this. Because, as I say, I was in the service. Also, Shelley Winters then read it in the paper, and there was kind of a lapse. It wasn't that exact night. It was maybe a week or a month, I don't even remember, later. All of a sudden, she went on The Tonight Show and said, we're losing the flower of American youth. She was very anti-war, and she wanted to sing a song called Bring the Boys Home. And she said, and, you know, Jerry Mathers died.
Oh, my God.
So then it had been in the paper, and then it was announced on The Tonight Show. And I didn't know Shelley Winters, and she, you know, personally, and I know she didn't know me. So she had probably just read it in the paper. And it was also not just in the paper. It was on the radio and also, I think, just, you know, a blip on the evening news on that one day it happened. So, you know, it was a rumor that just kept kind of spreading, and nobody jumped in there to ever put it out.
Well, you were in the military, and you said you didn't have an agent or anyone. Post Leave It to Beaver life, you kind of went civilian on it in terms of you. I read you were in investments, and you had a whole non-sort of Hollywood life. Did you enjoy that?
Well, I always wanted to go to college, so when I finished in the service, I spent the next 4 years, almost five, at the University of California.
Hey, Berkeley. How good is their football team doing right now?
Yeah, well, they weren't doing good when I was there, let me tell you. So I graduated from Berkeley, and then I went into banking. I'd put myself through Berkeley with the money I'd made from Leave It to Beaver by investing. I was buying commercial paper and treasury bills, and I was living off the interest and putting myself through school with that. And the bank that I was doing it with, the president said, you know, what are you going to do when you graduate? And I said, well, you know, I'm maybe go to law school. And he said, well, you know, if you come and I will make you a banker, I'll put you in my management training program, and you'll learn more about business, and you'll have a job for life. And I said, you know, that sounds like a pretty good deal. So I went into banking, and I became a commercial loan officer with that bank, and I was making huge loans for a lot of properties. And I said, you know, these guys are making commissions on this, and I'm getting a salary. So then I went into real estate and real estate development, and I did that for a few years. And Tony Dow had always been an actor ever since he
was your co-star on Leave It to Beaver for
right.
the three people
that don't
Wally. Know that.
And he asked me if I wanted to do a stage play. We did a stage play. It was so popular that the producers of that said, would you like to do another one? And I said, well, you know, I could do one, I guess, for a few weeks. Well, we went on the road for 18 months with a play. It was so popular that the people in Hollywood and Los Angeles said, what if we made a new movie of Leave It to Beaver? We did a movie called Still the Beaver. It was the number four movie of the week for 1982. And then we went on to do the new Leave It to Beaver, and I've been an actor ever since.
Well, it's really nice to hear, considering all the shenanigans of some of the child actors
yeah,
that we've seen.
You could
recent
teach a
years.
Course for
you really
the Lindsay
could.
Lohans
it's a really
of
nice
the world.
Story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And of course, your career continues on even to Broadway these days, where you just finished up a run as Tracy.
Yes, I've just finished up in Hairspray. I played Wilbur, who is the husband in Hairspray. You know, and it's a musical, and it had always been my dream to go to Broadway. And I just happened to get very, very lucky, and my agent knew that this part was coming up, and he said, how would you like to go and see a Broadway play? And I said, that would be fine. He goes, well, there's one little catch. You'd have to audition. I said, what do you mean audition? He goes, well, you'd have to, you know, sing and dance. I said, well, I don't know about that. He goes, you know, just go, and then you can say you always auditioned for a Broadway play. And 3 months later, I opened.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for taking the time to talk to us on this busy day for you. And for anyone who needs a refresher on Leave It to Beaver, TV Land is going to be airing a 24-hour marathon of Leave It to Beaver this weekend. I didn't know you were involved in mortgages. We should have you on to talk about subprime loans next time.
Oh, definitely. And they also are streaming it on the net, and it's at TVLand.com, and they have four episodes, one of which is the original pilot, which doesn't have Tony Dow or Hugh Beaumont in it. So anybody that just wants to get a quick look and doesn't want to watch the marathon can see it at TVLand.com. They also have a trivia contest where they're also awarding a DVD to with whatever person gets, I guess, the most trivia answers.
Well, Jerry Mathers, thank you so much for coming on the Bryant Park Project.
Thanks, Jerry.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.